Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello!
Hi.
Shall we do the podcast?
That's not how you said you were going to start. You said you were going to start with a jolly little toot on your horn. Period. Thanks.
No, I just said, how does this sound? I just wanted to know how this sounds. I have a couple of toilet rolls here, and I'm tooting through the middle of them. Da, 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 da.
Well, it sounded better than that when you did it before. Also, why do you have a couple of toilet rolls by your... Actually, I think I can think of a reason.
No. When it comes to my seed, where it lands is where it lands. I give no cares.
Oh my gosh, you're just so wild. Your wild oats are just across the land.
What is a man meant to do? A seed cannot be contained.
There are many small, bald little boys running around today.
Yeah.
Who knows? Across the country and across, I guess, your living room and bedroom floor.
The thing is, when I ejaculate, it's like when you blow one of those dandelion clocks. You know, every sperm has a tiny parachute.
Oh my god, it's like a Disney film. They all fly out the window. They've all got little faces, little bald heads. And they just like fly across the wintry landscape. Just like with happy smiles on their faces. Into people's windows where there's a lady maybe enjoying herself too. And he flies down.
With a little determined look on his face.
Man, this got suddenly elaborate somehow. Is this something that you think about, like, fairly often? Or?
I think of, like, yeah, little, sometimes Disney films happen in my head.
Nice.
You know, it could be a story.
Yeah.
About a little parachute, a little adventurer, a little soldier, a little explorer of Pyrian Flax, right? Who's gone into a strange jungle, right? I'm thinking of a microscopic world, you know, like ants,
just a weird jungle.
Yeah. Only like instead of like big tall trees, it's like pubes that are like really big and tall, and he's having to like machete his way through.
I'm subjected to like a lot of like children's television programming, right? Like just from having kids.
I like the word subjected. Yeah, that's a good choice.
I always like to think that like, you know, it's all very wholesome. All of the presenters are like super happy-go-lucky and they're always smiling and wide-eyed
and stuff. But at the same time, they always have this darkness behind their eyes, as if doing children's entertainment has sucked
their soul
out.
I like to think that. I like to imagine that, like, you know, they're at the studio and they're filming like their latest thing and they're all wide-eyed and smiley and stuff like that. And then literally like it does a jump cut to them in the evening and they're just like sitting around in their underpants, like drinking a gallon of vodka and crying all night and stuff. Like, I get some satisfaction from knowing that happens.
The next morning in the dressing room, they're like staring at themselves.
Having just like really depressing sex with a prostitute and like not enjoying it and stuff.
And they like finish and then they go up to their mirror and they snort like a line of cocaine.
They've got like a towel next to their bed for when they're done with like prostitute and stuff. And like, oh man,
and then they slap themselves in the face a couple of times and they walk out onto stage. Hello, children.
Yeah.
Happy time.
They stare at themselves in the mirror for a couple of hours holding like a revolver to their head, but they never go through with it and stuff. Like,
a makeup lady pats like, you know, some red cheeks makeup onto their sunken eyes.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're listening out there and you're a children's presenter, let me know what your life is like outside of the studio, because I'm interested to know, because all I got is basically that. That's how I view them all. That's what I think. It regardless of gender as well. Yeah. I think that's what they go home and do.
YouTubers and stuff.
They're just
too,
into some really devious shit. Like teachers. Remember there was a show on TV about teachers and they were always like drunk and stuff like that? I imagine that teachers are the same pretty much, you know, like you trust them to take care of your kids during the day and they do like a reasonable job of it and stuff. But at night, like, I bet you they just fucking hate themselves and they're just, like, mashing, like, their balls with a potato masher all night and just, like, just generally hating themselves and stuff.
I think it's like nurses and doctors are meant to work hard, play hard, right? It's like if you have to do something looking after other people, I think it's ironic that if you do that, when you've got free time, you attempt to destroy your own body as fast as possible without alcohol and drug.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
But
like
that's always the way it is with doctors. I think medical school is always work hard, play hard. That was their sort of attitude from the start. You know, they did more work than anyone and partied harder than anyone. They were just making the most. They were living, they were burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah, I mean, coal miners were kind of like that too. And then on that episode of The Simpsons,
gotta be careful not to burn a candle in a coal mine.
The guys with no shirts who work in the anvil factory, like they work hard and they play much harder than they work.
We work hard, we play hard.
Yeah, exactly. Like I guess.
That's such a cliche.
It is.
No, but I think these children's presents, I have a lot of respect for them, honestly. But I can see like the creepiness happening. Like there's that spate of
not
YouTube.
Even 1 ounce of respect for them, actually.
There's this whole lot of like pregnant Elsa fucking Spider-Man or there was like a Disney, I think there was a like Minnie Mouse pissing on Spider-Man YouTube video. But it wasn't for kids. It wasn't called that. It was like called like, you know. Minnie gives Spider-Man a shower, a surprise,
Spider-Man.
Like stuff like this. Like, oh god, so much.
It's been removed by the user. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God for that. Maybe they just like had second thoughts. You know,
there's so much
Mickey
of this
Mouse
shit on
needs
YouTube.
To pee on Minnie Mouse's bathtub. What the Christ am
My
I watching?
My video of Minnie Mouse pissing on Spider-Man went viral, but I had second thoughts about it after it hit a couple million views.
I'm watching a video of Mickey Mouse pissing in the bathtub while the baby mouse is taking a dump, and then Minnie Mouse comes in wearing a bikini. What the fuck is this?
Have you seen this shit on YouTube? It's like it's for like it's for kids and stuff.
This ain't for kids, homie.
But it's
That's
so
not for kids.
It's
I wouldn't
super
want,
like
I'm, kids like. Peeing and pooing and they think it's funny, but like I don't want them to see their like my daughter loves Minnie Mouse and I'm not sure how she would react to Minnie Mouse pissing on someone.
Yeah, this ain't cool.
I think you know what though,
I feel like that
is.
Would traumatize her.
But for example, this one I'm just looking at is like Mickey Mouse babies pee on the Minnie Mouse bathtub family finger song nursery rhymes number 2. It's like it's like, do you know what I think it is, right? This is what,
you
this
know
is
what,
my...
though? Like, I know that that exists, but what's wrong with just some good old-fashioned London bridges falling down? Like, you know, that never hurt anybody.
Well,
why don't we just stick to the golden oldies instead of, like, trying to shake things up?
You're
like,
right.
Minnie Mouse is pissing in Mickey's mouth, pissing in Mickey's mouth. You know, we don't need to. It's fine. London Bridge is fine. Like, it's been around for a while. It's tried, tested, and true. We don't need to subject our kids to people
Spider-Man
pissing.
Spider-Man likes to shit on a cat. Shit
Spider-Man
on a cat.
Likes to felch Mickey Mouse. Felch Mickey Mouse. You know, like, we don't need this.
Yeah, we don't need that.
We don't need that.
We don't need it. No, but the thing is, I think it's like a... Well, a lot of people have said, oh, it's like search terms. So if you don't know about this, it's basically this spate of weird shit on YouTube. It's been going on for ages. It's like kids-oriented. And basically what kids do is, so many kids now, you see them, they are just on iPads and they're just browsing through YouTube videos. And it's part of the reason why a lot of these Minecraft channels are quite popular.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but, you can see, I mean, with my kids as well, we don't even let them go on YouTube that much. But anytime they're given... even half the chance they're on there looking up nursery rhymes it's crazy how easy it is to navigate for them. They can they can get around, like it's nuts.
And there is this like YouTube small. Kids section as well, which has like somewhat approved stuff on it, you know, to make sure that's sort of safe for kids and stuff. And also there are some safeguards, but mostly there's a lot of you end up looping around, right, to like weird video. It's like related. It's like you know what happens when you click, if you keep clicking a related video over and over again, it's going to go weird.
Yeah, eventually you get to the weird part of YouTube.
It's like sometimes when you go away and leave your PC on and it's been like autoplaying YouTube videos and you're like, what the fuck? I've just watched 10 Stampy videos. How has this happened?
Why is Mickey Mouse shitting on in his chest. What the heck? Where am I?
The other thing is kids copy everything they fucking see.
Yeah, that's the
they
other thing.
They copy everything.
Yeah.
Daddy, daddy, what? Why did, insert older sibling's name here, shit on my tummy? Well, let's ask them. Why did you shit on, insert younger sibling's name here, tummy? Because Mickey did it to Spider-Man, and I'm Mickey, and he was Spider-Man, so I shit on his stomach.
My son came home from school the other day, and he did, like, the dab the haters thing with the fucking, put his, like, arms, like, the thing and stuff.
He dabbed, is what you're trying to say.
And my wife was like, what the fuck is he doing? And I was like, honestly, I don't fucking know. Like I'm on the internet a lot, and I've seen that before, and I still don't fucking know what it is or what it means.
What, the dab?
Well, like, I mean, I loosely get it. I've never, like, you know, but my five-year-old son has come home from school, and he's done that. So, like, I don't know what the fuck, like, his friends at school are, like, watching on YouTube. They're dabbing, I guess. Yeah, but like,
you know what?
I'm not sure that it sits well with me, you know? Like, I don't think that my 5-year-old son should be memeing in real life.
But don't worry about that. Don't worry about dabbing, all right? Here's the thing. Does anybody still Harlem Shake? Do you remember the Harlem Shake?
That was a real flash in the pan. I mean, right. That lasted
for a week. But so's dabbing, dude. That's all the same shit. The internet now, I mean, in my day, fads were around for a few years before they got old.
That's
it took that long to, I think the word is promulgate.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I'm going to Google if promulgate is the right word.
No, it sounds about right. That's where you, all of your little dudes
to
parachute
promote or
out,
make
right?
widely known, right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
So when
that's
I
what you
promulgate
do every day
my
when
seed,
you see it
exactly. When right. I promulgate my seed or a meme, right now it is the internet, it's promulgated much more quickly. It's out there in the wild like that. In those, you know, a few years ago pre-internet, it took years for shit to promulgate. Now you get daily promulgation. It's ridiculous.
I feel like you're trying to say propagate, but maybe
no, promulgate.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah. So like I like this whole like thing on YouTube is a evolutionary thing, right? So basically what people do is they see what keywords are hot, like Spider-Man, Mickey Mouse, and they'll
dumping.
Make videos and do shit deliberately to cater for those hot fucking keywords, right? And then what they'll do is so I think what it's a combination of just quantity, right? So they just pick these shit YouTube channels in, I don't know, Russia. It could be like this Russian troll farm.
Oh, you know what?
Well,
you know what I found as well? What? I think there's a lot of like animation houses based out of India who like absolutely saturate YouTube with like children's content, because I'm not even joking. Watch like any nursery rhyme video, and it's an Indian woman with a heavy like Indian English accent singing songs, and the animation is, I mean, I don't want to be rude, like I probably couldn't do much better. But then again, I'm not like. But
I agree. Like,
holy fuck, the animation is fucking terrible.
It's just being swamped, okay? And all they need to do is for a couple of them to get caught up in YouTube's net of, you know, cut the
recommendations.
The right keywords, right?
And yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's why a lot of this stuff, like the pissing and the pooping, has come about. Because I think what happens is, right, you get the kids looking for Mickey Mouse and Spider-Man, but you get the adults looking for pissing and, you know, all the sick
pooping.
Stuff, right?
On YouTube, though? Like,
no,
other,
I don't know.
There's other tube
I'm just
networks
throwing it out
where
there,
that's
but then
probably
I think what happens is
that
the search
available.
History of the kids and the search history of the dads get blended together on the iPad. You end up with some holy grail, right? An unholy grail of the perfect search history, which hits both everyone who uses the iPad.
Oh,
right.
I guess that's why my daughter was watching like awkward Minnie Mouse being choked videos the other day. I guess it was just a weird sort of, you know, like brewing pot of my search results and hers.
I don't know. I'm just sort of throwing that out there as I think it's just the way YouTube's shitty algorithm happens to work is that you end up with this weird shit getting promoted. And also it's kind of tough to like sometimes tell whether something, because the amount they're creating, you know, I think in Eastern Europe and India, like you said, like I reckon there's just these animation houses creating this stuff, like
yeah,
and just
where they're
shitting
probably
it
just
out.
Like, we're going to pay you guys all very, very little. And can you guys just all work on getting together as many nursery rhyme videos as possible? We want to publish about 1,000 a month.
We'll mash them out on loads of different channels. We'll put loads of different keywords. And some of them will just stick. It's like sometimes that happens. Like I remember Terps Terps has got his South Park, original South Park playthrough, right, on YouTube. And one of the episodes was like, I think he named it like Mum Fucks Kid or something. Do you know what I mean? And that God. One has like a million views and the rest have like five.
Oh my God.
You know, and it's wow. just like episode 43 in the middle just has a fucking shitload of views. And sometimes YouTube just grabs these videos and throws them out. And, you know, if these animation houses can make like, you know, a couple of grand out of each of those, you know, just through YouTube ads, like while it sticks around and before it eventually gets, someone removes it. But, you know, it's tough to even tell. Like, I think if YouTube were to check all these videos one by one, you know, they would never end up fucking, no one knows, right? First of all, hardly anyone really watches what their kids are watching. First of all, it's probably like a lot of people just think it's innocent. Oh, it's just funny. Like, you know, where's the line as well? Like, where's the line on this shit? You know, when like, when is it? Because kids are talking about shitting and pissing and stuff all the time. But, you know, where's the line? You know?
Yeah, well, it's not like in a set, they don't have any, they're not like sexual kids, right? They don't have any concept of that. So like they wouldn't like have any sort of concept of arousal, like in and around shitting and pissing, like a demented adult would, sort of thing.
But yeah, even then, like even if it didn't have any, like any actual sexual content or perverted content like that, maybe if it just had like just a creepy fat Spider-Man in a,
like
in
kids
a creepy
like
costume,
shitting and pissing, but they laugh know. About farting and shitting and pissing in their pants, which is
yeah,
very
so do
different.
We, to be fair, but yeah,
well, I do too, yeah, but like I don't get a boner while I'm talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
sure.
right. Yeah. yeah,
and then we have multiple levels to when we
yeah,
joke.
I mean,
about
if,
stuff.
In actual fact, it's I have like a reverse boner when I'm talking about shit in my pants. Like that's not something I ever,
it's gross, man.
It
I don't
really
know what
is
people
gross,
are into
man. My shit stinks. Like there's no other place for it but the toilet. Like,
oh,
and even then, sometimes I feel bad for the toilet. I'm like, geez,
that's not just one of those things. Like some people just like boobies, some people like asses, some people like legs, you know, that
yeah.
some people like the weird stuff, like I want to shit on you or I want you to shit on me,
yeah,
and stuff.
That's
that,
a bit weird.
Something has happened in your past and that's become your hang up. Like that's not just a fetish, that's like a mental hang up about something.
Yeah,
I'd love to know more about what it is, but there's something going on. Nobody just one day goes, huh, I really like someone shitting on me. You know, that's something that's in you
yeah.
from a very, very
or
early age.
Or eating shit as well. I mean, how the fuck do you...
Yeah.
You know, like the two girls, one cup and stuff. Like, how the fuck are you not barfing your fucking
I've
brains
never watched
out?
It.
Like,
never watched it. Managed
whilst
to avoid
eating
it.
Shit. Like,
but it's a classic shock thing, right?
It's just
more...
like a... We've got to be hard-coded at a very base level to not eat
yeah,
our own
yeah.
shit. Like,
hey,
you have to train past
let's
that.
Let's move on. Let's move on from shitting and pissing, because I just felt like, no, it's enough. It's enough. It's
all right.
It's Christmas, by the way.
This Merry
podcast
Christmas,
is going out on like the fucking 6th or 7th of December. I don't know if there's going to be any other podcast in December, but we will try our best to record.
We'll try
them.
Our best.
And they'll be
yeah.
definitely
will we?
More. They'll definitely be more.
Will we try our best?
Be more Christmassy.
Well, let's put some context to our best, okay? For me, my best is like, I feel a bit groggy today. I think I'm just going to take a week off, so...
Yeah, I've been sick for 2 weeks, and
right.
I've still turned up for recordings, Chris. All I'm saying is you could learn a thing or two from Papa Flax.
Well, what the fuck, all man? Right? I haven't ditched out on any recordings.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't.
Like, what?
No, I can't think of any.
I want some dates and times, my friend,
all
because
right,
I'm pretty sure I showed up to
on.
Everything I needed to. Bare
I
minimum.
I have a spreadsheet.
Right, okay.
Right,
I've got spreadsheets
on.
Too.
I've
so,
got
so,
spreadsheets too, guys, so.
Let me just load up my spreadsheet. Hold on. Here we go. Wait,
right.
I'm just entering the search formula.
Okay.
Hold on.
And the results are?
Yeah, you're clean. You're good.
Okay, good. Phew. Man, I was really worried there for a minute.
No, it's okay. You're good. You're good.
Hey, so listen, I just want to let it be known before I forget. I did watch The Apprentice this week, and I caught up on the last week's one as well. And I can tell you that The Apprentice that I watched last night, this is the UK Apprentice with Lord Sugar, Alan Sugar himself, was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to watch in my life. Wow. It was... I mean, cringe doesn't even cover it. Holy crap. I had to close my eyes and plug my ears as well. It was so bad. Like,
give me the rundown. What was so bad?
So the task this time was they had to make like a recipe in a box. You know, like the, you know, you go to the, if you go to the grocery store now, it has, you can buy like a box with everything that you need to prepare like a prepared meal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like say you wanted to make a curry, a chicken curry. This box would have all the raw ingredients and then really fucking foolproof instructions on how to prepare this dish, right? So the task was they had to do this themselves. They had to come up with like branding for it. They had to, you know, figure out what they wanted to, the dish that they wanted to create. They had to create the dish. And then they had to sort of do like almost, they had to do a presentation to a bunch of big wigs from supermarkets and whatever, like in the UK. And then, you know, you won the task if they chose yours more over the other ones, right? So like, but the actual presentations, one group thought that they were doing like a cooking show. And oh my God, and they were trying to like, they were dressed up as salt and pepper shakers and they were making these fucking terrible jokes and they just sucked at presenting and oh God, it was really fucking awful. Jesus, the crowd was just like not laughing at anything and they just looked pissed off and like apparently some of the food was burnt and stuff and oh fuck, I couldn't believe it. It was good awful. God. It was really, really fucking tough.
I think,
through.
You know, the worst thing about The Apprentice for me is that if you're, let's say you're really, really good at being on The Apprentice, right? How much of the shit, because the show has to have variety. Like, it's basically a variety kind of show,
it
right?
Is,
so you've got to have, you can't have every week they put together a very careful and considered business plan.
No, but you know what? I think it would be watchable if they were actually competent and successful in the tasks. But every task just seems to be a fucking train wreck that they just scrape through.
Yeah, because they want to make it something that's like funky, hilarious, good TV. Like,
they
that's,
also,
that's their
yeah,
whole thing,
there's
right?
no way they recruit competent people. It's like classically, it's that classic story about the Crystal Maze. Like, was it Ben who had a friend and the guys who were going to be on the Crystal Maze or whatever? And so they went in for the interview and they, like, you know, completed a couple of challenges. They were okay. And they were like, no, you're too good. We can't have you on the show. That's it. Like, literally, that's it for The Apprentice. They literally are like, well, okay, the top 50% of people, you're not on. The top 60% of people, you're too good. We want the bottom fucking scrapings of idiots. We want the scrubs. We want those guys who come in for an interview and they're fucking hopeless. And you're like, yeah, you're a fucking idiot. You're not getting this job. You're the apprentice. Perfect. That's who we want.
They're such bullshitters. Like, they just bullshit all the time. Like, I know, like, people are like that in general. Like, I've worked with many in the past who just get by bullshitting, but... Oh, fuck, it's tedious to watch. It's tedious to have to experience in real life, and it just sucks to watch as well, really. I would watch a show where they were really fucking good.
It's that classic television, though. People love that cringe television. It's what's really caught on.
I find it
everywhere. No, I find it awful.
It's all like that.
Everyone
TV's
likes
all
to
like
laugh
that.
At people worse than them. Everyone likes to see celebs without makeup. Everyone likes to see people fail. Everyone likes to see people high and mighty try their best and then fail because it makes them feel better about themselves.
When did this become
the norm?
When did this become TV?
I want to see success. I want to feel worse about myself when I watch TV.
It's a matter of evolution. That's the thing.
I'm sitting there
like,
in my
popular.
Undies eating ice cream. Like, I'm already feeling pretty bad. Like, just make me feel a little bit worse. I deserve it. I'm an asshole.
It is evolution, though. It's like people watch this, people talk about this, and that's why. The reason that we aren't talking about other TV shows right now is because this is successful. This is a successful formula, and
it
that's
is,
why they keep making it. Do you understand?
I don't watch TV. Fuck
it's
TV.
It's not rocket science. It's evolution. It's like
I don't
just...
really watch that much TV either, actually. I mean, I quite like the format of The Apprentice, but man, the contestants just drive me fucking nuts. Like,
they're supposed
to. You know
to.
A show I used
know,
to like was
know,
Dragon's
but...
Den. I liked Dragon's Den.
But Dragon's
right?
Den was another one. It was guaranteed every single person, and it's like these people have never watched the show before. They come in and they value their business at £1 million, and that is just like the fucking red flag that goes up for everyone on the panel, the dragons, to say you're fucking full of shit. Like, there's no way you're selling £1 million worth of stickers in like 3 months or whatever your stupid business idea is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. But they always do it.
It's always some stupid thing. I've come up with a new kind of doorstop. And I value my business at £4 billion.
Yeah.
They'll write it down. And they're like, okay, Peter Jones has a question. Yeah, I've got a question for you. I'm just looking at your valuation here, and it looks completely bonkers to me, quite honestly, bonkers. £4 billion valuation, how do you get that valuation?
He looks like personally offended every single
time. Yeah, he really
time.
Does. And they'll always be like, well, We looked at the cost of our unit, which is £8, and our profit on that is £5, and we counted the number of doors in the country, and we multiplied the profit by the number of doors in the country, and that's what we came out with, £4 billion. They're like, you know, it's literally like that. We assume we're going to sell our doorstop to everybody who owns a door,
yeah,
and they're going to have one of our doorstops on every door.
They have no contracts. They have no, like,
yeah.
Nobody is, like, using them for supply, nothing. Like,
nobody wants it. It doesn't even work. Like, it's a piece of garbage, but it's worth $4 billion.
Theoretically, it's worth $4 billion, but... We haven't actually...
And that's only the UK. We're going to scale it up internationally. Yeah. This thing's going to be worth $1 trillion.
Oh,
the doorstop company.
Man,
that's how they work.
Man. Yeah. I mean, I like Dragon's Den as well. I haven't watched it in a couple of years, but like I used to watch it about as regularly as The Apprentice sort of thing. You know, we'd make a point to like set aside the time to watch it and stuff. And it was good fun sort of thing. But like, fuck, I don't know. I don't know.
The things I watch now, like I watch the nature documentary, like the Blue Planet 2, I'm watching that at the moment. I watch reruns of stuff, and I'll watch Strictly Come Dancing, but only the intro, because it's such an amazing piece of television, the way they do this show. And they like the camera changes, the swooping
The professional
shots
dancers are phenomenal.
It's amazing.
Like, they are
incredible. I mean, it's
incredible.
Just, if you look at it as a Saturday night piece of telly,
and really,
it's absolute
like,
gold.
You know, if that's what you're doing, that's your profession, I feel like Strictly Come Dancing is like the, you know, like one of the best things that you could do like for your career, bar none
sort of
thing. Like, cause,
I mean, they're household names.
Yeah, because what other like opportunities are there for you to like get a really big name in dancing that like spills into like, you know, sort of like mass media? There isn't. It's just like, it just doesn't happen. Like you could be like some renowned dancer like or whatever, but like, you know, most people won't have heard of you unless they're really interested in going to like a ballet or like whatever. Yeah. Some sort of dance. I don't even know.
Like, I don't really watch the show. I just watch the intro.
They're very
first 5 minutes.
Quintessentially British, right? Like Bake Off and Strictly are very British shows. You know, I feel like they're a combination of, you know, people putting themselves on the line and kind of embarrassing themselves a little bit like I'm a celebrity or like, you know, get me out of here.
I think that's the very opposite end. I feel like MasterChef, I find every time I've watched it, the people who are on it seem competent. They seem to be able to cook. Like the stuff that they make looks pretty good. Like you can tell they've thought about it and stuff. And like,
obviously, the more it chugs on to the end
of the series, like, you know, like
but
when
at the same
you
time,
have
like
the finalists and
it's
stuff.
Like it's taking celebrities out of their comfort zone and making them kind of putting them more pressure in it. But at the same time, being quite British and quite cozy, I guess, television with a bit of that fake drama thrown in. It's like, James is angry with Tim because Tim has borrowed his salt shaker and not returned it. But by the way,
while they're arguing,
Janine's souffle has been in the oven for 30 seconds too long and she's not paying attention. Oh no, my souffle's been in the oven for 30 seconds too long and I've not been paying attention.
I think my favorite British show still, and I'm sure they do them other places, it's not just in Britain, but I feel like it works better in Britain because of the state of housing in Britain. It's Homes Under the Hammer because, man, do they ever get some stinkers. And they make them look really fucking nice in the end, too. It's crazy. Like, I don't think there's any other country in the world where, like, some of the housing in Britain is just really trash. Like, it can be really fucking bad.
But it's still worth, like, £500,000.
Yeah, when it's all done and everything. But, like, it always amazes me that, like, they, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, my friend's a roofer and he came in and did the job for free. And so you're like, wow, okay, great. I mean, it's good. But no, Homes Under the Hammer is really good. I like
You know what? Another show I've been watching recently is this one where it's like MasterChef. It's got, I think it's Prue Leith is one of the people or someone like that. And some other guy, the Italian chef, I can't remember his name. And it's like a family comes in.
Right.
And it's like families cooking competitively. So you'll have like the Smith family against the, you know, some other family, and they're sort of, they have to cook a dish and prepare it, and they come to their home and they cook them a lovely meal and stuff. That was a good show. Like, I actually really enjoyed that. I don't know why. It was good. It was good. I like cookery shows sometimes, but I'll sit and watch it if Mrs. F is watching it, but I'll never go out of my way to watch it.
No, hell like, no. Anything. That's the thing. My like, TV for me is very much like my wife wants to watch something and asks if I want to watch it with her. And then I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. That sounds fine. sort of thing. Yeah. But I would never seek it out myself. Never. Like if my wife never asked me to watch TV, I would occupy all of my spare time exclusively to playing video games.
Like, yeah, I'd literally be in here 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, we grew up in an era when TV was all that people watched. Like, there was no fucking, like, you know, if you rented a movie, that was like a Friday night or a Saturday night's treat thing.
Oh, man.
You didn't have
renting
a movie
movies
every
was
night.
Awesome. You remember you used to get, like, the big bundles? I don't know if you guys had this, but, like, I remember, like, on Friday after school, we'd get home. My parents would get home from work at, like, 5 or 6 or whatever. We'd eat some dinner, and usually because it was Friday, it would just be something like, you know, like pizza or something like that, that they didn't have to prepare. And then everybody would get in the car and we'd go to the movie store and we would literally rent like 20 movies. And then that was us the whole weekend, just like movies or video games and stuff. And it was awesome. God, I loved it. It was so good. We'd get to watch.
But no, I mean, so that's us, right? So think how much TV young people must be watching.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
if you're listening
true,
to this podcast and you're like 17 or 18 years old, be honest, how much TV do you watch? I'd love to know. Like, there must be some kind of fucking survey out there.
I don't know.
Because when I stream, I'm sure you're the same, Chris, right? The same people tune in every night to watch me stream. Like, I stream pretty much every day of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see the same people in chat every time, and I'm
absolutely, yeah.
This is crazy. Like, I mean, a lot of them have me on the second monitor, so they're not really paying attention, which is fine. I don't really pay attention.
I've always got a stream open on a second monitor.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
you just got it on.
Yeah.
But in the old days, you'd be on the TV. Also, a lot of people watch on their phones. So I'll be streaming and someone's like, oh, I'm in a lecture right now. I'm like, damn. So they're in a lecture in university with their phone in their lap watching me play Dota instead of getting an education.
Yeah, I mean, the alternative to that is just like what I did at school is just not go to the lectures. Like I never listened anyway, so I just stayed home. Like I bought all the books that I needed. I had all the course material and stuff. And I just basically, I might as well just have done it like, you know, correspondence learning or whatever, you know, like, because I never went to the lectures. It was just such a pain in the ass to get out there to them. Some of them were so early in the morning that it was just like, I never learned anything from going to the lectures. Like, it was just awful.
There was one lecture, you know, I was talking about this the other day on Discord with some of my guys, and a lot of them at university, a lot of my students and stuff. And there was one lecture, like at the start of every year, you'd got your timetable of all the modules that you'd have to do that year and everything. And we'd look through it, and the ones that were called things like networking for businesses and stuff, you go, oh, I could learn that off the course sheet. I don't need a lecture for that. The ones about database, like how to actually code a proper database and how to structure it, you're going to that lecture. The one of this guy, it was a procedural computing language. I think it was something called procedural. It was called Zed or Z. And it was basically a way to formally structure what the program was going to do with this mathematical notation. It was incredibly hard, this lecture, right? It was like the densest fucking lecture that we had. So difficult. And the lectures were the best attended. There was like 100% attendance of these lectures because it's an important module. And it was so hard that we needed to be in the class with the lecturer and he would explain it. And so we could put hands up and say, can you explain that again? And there was a whole 1 week, the whole lecture was on recursion. So if you've not done any programming, the programmer's joke for recursion is if you look recursion up in the dictionary, it just says C recursion.
Yeah.
Right. That's it. So you just keep looking, you know, so a recursive loop is just it keeps doing it and doing it, but it's calling itself, which is a very fucked up kind of idea. And you're like, how does it ever not do that? You know, it's sort of like the idea of a recursive loop is kind of tricky because it's like saying, you know, to understand how this works, you need to read this book. And when you reopen the book, it says to understand how this works, you need to read this book. And so, you know, you can't continually cycling through. So it's crazy. So that lecture blew a lot of people's minds. We're all in there, like 100% attendance. But most of the lectures, the guy gets up, he's reading off a sheet, he's writing the notes on the board, and that's it. He can give you the fucking sheet and you can read it at home. And when you get the coursework, the questions are dead simple. You look at the coursework, you read the notes, bosh, you're done. I mean, that was most of university for me. So I could see why people can look at their fucking phones. Most lectures, I just wanted to turn up so that they didn't think I was, had not, you know, that I dropped the course or whatever. I was still at university.
Yeah.
But God, I must have missed like 50% of my fucking...
No, me too.
Oh, man, I missed even more. But the problem with me was that I went to school in the same city that I lived in, right? Like, so I still lived with my parents at the time. I was like...
That's gotta suck.
21, I guess, when I started going to college. So it was like... I had to take a bus to the other side of the city, and all in all, one trip from where my parents lived to school was an hour and a half of busing, like just one way, and then back again, like, you know, in the evening or whatever. So like at first, you know, it was just like, oh, you know, this is all new and fresh and I've got to go, I got to be there. And like, you know, I made a couple of like friends that like, you know, we spoke to back then. It was MSN Messenger. That was like the big thing. Like that's what you used, right? So I got them all on Messenger. And then slowly over time, I went less and less and less until basically I just boycotted going altogether. Because I just, like, I had the books. I just knew where to find, like, everything that I needed. Like, I knew when everything was due and stuff. And then, so I just stay home, play Counter-Strike, like, all day. And then fucking whenever I needed to actually do something, I just get on MSN and speak to somebody who'd actually gone to the lectures and say, like, what do I need to do? And they'd tell me. And then I would just turn up for exams or to, like, hand stuff in. And that was it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just... Fuck me. Like, it was, lectures were just like such a write off for me. Like, I just, I'm not the type of person who can sit there and listen to people and like, and soak it in. Like, it's just, I can't do it. Like, I just have to do and do and do and try and try. Like, maybe I'm nuts or something, but like, I'm very sort of like, I learn when I'm doing stuff, like hands on and trying stuff. Like, I can't just listen to somebody explain something to me and then do
it. I find it very, very hard. I mean, my daughter, my eldest daughter, she's terrible at listening. And she got her report at the end of last year, and it was great. Like, I actually cried. Her report was so good. I was so proud of her. And, you know, it was fantastic. And I was telling her it was great. And it's all good. Like, it's all like above expectation, everything. Like, they don't list it as A, B, C at that age. It's just like, she's where she should be. She's not where she should be, or she's ahead of where she should be. And everything was ahead of where she should be, apart from the religious education, which she didn't give a shit about. And I was like, I don't care. And the other bit was listening. Her listening skills need work. And I was like, I'm going to have to talk to the teacher about that. And he goes, well, she just kind of gets all distant and she's off in her own dream world and she doesn't really pay attention. And I'm like, shit. I criticize her for it and I say she shouldn't do it, but that's me. That is literally me.
I mean, I think that's pretty much everyone.
Like, no, it's really not. This is what I've discovered, is I assumed everybody was like this, but they're really not. Like, a lot of people really listen and pay attention.
Man, I
would come out of lectures or come out of a conversation and, like, Mrs. F, she does this all the time. We'll talk to someone very briefly, and later on she'll say, can you believe what so-and-so said? I'm like, who said what? And she'll have to remind me of the entire conversation. I'll forget stuff that I spoke to someone about the day before. She doesn't. Like, some people just don't. She fucking remembers she has a conversation with someone, she remembers it.
Yeah.
She goes to a talk, she remembers the talk. There are people like that.
People start talking to me, and I just instantly, I start thinking of like Mickey taking a dump on Minnie's chest and stuff.
Exactly.
I'm gone. I'm in some weird sort of like, you know, scat fetish Disney, you know, mashup, and that, you know, that's it.
I'm thinking about that right now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I think in the future we'll see more kind of, I don't know, even when I was at uni, I was thinking like, fuck, you know, I could do all this from home, couldn't I, you know, and I think that...
The thing is, when I went, though, the technology wasn't quite there. I think nowadays, especially, you could do absolutely everything from, you'd never need to physically go to a school now. Like if I went to school again now, I would never go, like, and I would feel fine about that.
At the same time, like, we all thought that this would happen, right? Like 10 years ago, we all thought, oh, Second Life's a thing. You can just go into a school classroom there. You can just get your lecture notes from there. You can have, even a teacher can like broadcast himself from his or her bedroom, you know, and teach us like streaming.
Yeah.
You know, we thought that this would happen and it hasn't at all. Like nothing
just, like,
has changed.
Skype your tutor or whatever. And say,
I mean,
like,
I'm sure like some elements of that must be happening, but like generally it feels like the majority of stuff is still done in person, and the majority
I think the reason for that is simple, though, right? If you think about it, the reason for it is that you have to pay to go to fucking university. How do you know that if you're Skype in your class or whatever, that there's not just a bunch of other people freeloading on that lecture who haven't paid to attend university and are going to fucking, you know, learn? If you want to learn stuff,
absolutely terrible if people were able to just learn for free.
I know, imagine that.
Imagine that kind of world.
Learning for
That's
free.
Not the fucking world I want to live in.
Exactly. I want poor people to stay uneducated.
Yeah.
All right? And only the rich deserve knowledge.
Yeah.
And if you're poor... And you can't afford education, guess what? You can borrow the money, and you can fucking pay it back, you piece of shit, and you don't get a fucking house. Burn in hell!
So in Jersey, where I live, they've just announced that they're going to pay tuitions for every islander that wants to go to university. where their like family income is below $150,000 a year.
Cool.
And they'll pay half tuition fees for families that earn over $150,000 a year, which is fantastic, isn't it? Like it's a small place, so I guess they could do it sort of
thing. Yeah, got to spend all their Apple profits somehow.
Well, that's it. Yeah, but it's a good commitment though, isn't it, to sort of getting people there's like anywhere, like even Jersey being a small place, you know, there are a lot of people who are like on benefits, like rely on like social housing and stuff like that. And feel like, I don't know, like just when I read that, it just seemed like such a good thing, you know, like somebody who maybe is, you know, with a family who don't have a lot of money or don't have a background of like, you know, being educated or whatever, it gives them the chance to finish school and then go to university and like and get an education, like a further education, and potentially, you know, land a really fucking good job and make, you know, make a good living sort of thing.
Just social mobility is that's the only way to solve it.
Gets them out of the rut, right? Like gets them out of the.
I mean, that's the thing is if you limit, it's totally a cycle. If you limit access to good jobs to people whose families already have good jobs,
yeah.
What are you doing? Like, why would you ever think that's a good idea? And no, think about it this way. Let's say you're I've thought this for a while. Let's say you're a heartless industrialist.
Yeah.
Right? You're like one of those big fat guys with a cigar and a top hat. Ah, I got the factory. Ah, I got the workers. I don't want to pay them more than a dime an hour, but the goddamn government makes me pay them a nickel an hour. Yeah. Garbage. Yeah. Rah, rah. Whatever.
So it's like Winston Churchill, like fused
like the
together
Monopoly
with
guy.
Trump.
If the yeah. Monopoly guy was like a real guy, right? Yeah. If you're that guy, let's say you're looking at poor people and you think scroungers, and you're like Alan Sugar's like, oh, I'm self-made, I made, you know, like we talked about this the other week, oh, I made my millions myself, I don't need that fucking handouts, all these poor people need to pull their finger out. Meh. Most people aren't like you. If you want a society where you can have educated workers, Mr. Industrialist, right? Why would you pass over the chance to get some really talented people who just had a shit start in life? Even looking at it that way, as the most heartless conservative possible, you have all these people out there that you're passing over on automatically. They might be brilliant. They might be the geniuses that you desperately need in your stupid fucking doorstop making business. And you're just
valued
saying,
at
nah,
$4 billion
fuck it.
A year. Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't, but
like
it's...
Even like health, if you're looking at healthcare and you're saying people should have to pay for it, even if you're the Monopoly man and you've got a factory making doorstops, if your workers are getting sick and they can't work because they're all getting sick and you've got to retrain new ones, even from your perspective, paying for healthcare should surely be a good thing because having healthy customers and healthy workers is good for everybody. I just don't get it, man. I don't fucking get it.
It's the way she fucking goes, Flax. It's just the way she fucking goes. You know, sometimes she goes, sometimes
she
doesn't.
You know, I was thinking when you guys were talking about porn earlier, I was thinking this is something I've thought for a while, right?
Right. Okay.
We weren't really talking about porn, but sure.
We always talk about porn.
We touched on it. We touched on it. So I've been thinking, right? The guys that make porn,
yeah.
Okay, I think a lot of them are frustrated filmmakers who have fallen into pornography.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Right, and they're like, they wanted to make like a great Western or yeah. like a really good drama or something like that. And these cameramen and the editors and the directors and all the rest of it, they're like, well, no movie studios will take my ideas, so I'm just going to make porn.
I mean, have you seen anyone who works here, PFLAX? You've just employed everyone in our office as well. Like everyone didn't think they'd end up drawing pictures of a fucking stupid dwarf every day, or like editing some dumbass podcast together.
Right.
Like,
They thought they'd be like Stanley Kubrick making the next fucking Marvel movie, but they're not making porn, right? They're not making porn. So the guys that are making porn,
it's worse.
This is my favorite part of it. No, this is my favorite part of it. If you watch like porn, not the stuff that's just like a hand cam and the guy's just filming his dick going into a woman. Like he's literally just filming it like, oh, you won't believe this. Look at this. Oh. Just filming it.
Listen to the noise.
Right. I'm talking about where there's like a set and there's lights and they've carefully
just
lit
stay
it.
Stay there in that bathtub, Minnie. Stay
yeah.
there.
You just wait, Minnie, wait there. Mickey, when I wave my arm like this, you enter, you deliver your line. Well, hi there, Minnie. Looks like you need someone to shit on your tummy.
Daddy needs a poo.
You deliver that line.
Wait, Spider-Man, you're going to have to come in at this
Spider-Man,
point.
Spider-Man, when I wave my left arm, you swing in on your web and you jizz all over everything and then you zip on out of there, okay? And they're like, yeah, thumbs up, you know, so they're ready to go. But the director there, he's like putting the scene together in his mind. So he's like, that you know, they have the shots like it's a TV show. Like they'll have a shot, like they'll have a conversation shot. There's like a over the shoulder, like convo. So I can't remember what they call that. One-on-one, like there's a specific term for when you shoot it with one person's looking at the other person and you film it over their shoulder, but it's like forced perspective. So they're actually looking, and you look it up anyway. So they'll have those kind of shots, and then they'll have the cutaway shot for the editor, right? So anytime you're filming something, if you have a transition shot, you need to cut to something else. And often they're like, well, shit, if we're filming a woman getting fucked and we're like from her perspective, like, you know, we're looking at her face and the dude's behind you, can't really see him. How can I cut from this to the shot they always do for like 2 minutes of any porno film, which is underneath between the legs when you see the guy's ball sack hanging down, and he's just so you can make just almost like this is the proof. If we have to go to court and prove these people fucked, look at this shot. This is a 2 minute shot, a static shot of this guy's dick banging away with his balls slapping all over the place. Gotta make sure we get that shot, right? But before they go from the face shot with, you know, where we're looking at her face and he's behind her, and we cut to the ball shot, we need a cutaway shot. They can't cut to the scenery because you can't cut away from the action, right? So they cut to the dude's face because there's nothing else to cut to of him going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, this is good, oh, yeah. All the dudes watching this are like, don't fucking show the dude's face. What are you doing? Come on. But they have to because they're filmmakers. Nobody wants to see the dude's face when he's fucking this girl, but they always have to cut to his face because the editors are like, you got to give me something to cut to. So like, oh, fine, we'll shoot 3 minutes of this guy. He's clearly not having sex when they cut to his face. It's just like a shot of him gurning and going, ah, yeah, this is good. You look it up, you'll see it in a lot of pornos.
Nice.
Okay. Jeez, I won't be able to unsee
that. I never
that,
watch man. Porno, so I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't know what you mean.
yeah, sure.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. I had a few things to say, but I've lost them along the way.
Yeah, God, this has been a crazy one. This is what happens when we miss a week. Look, everybody's got a million things that they want to say. Listen, let's talk about video games for 2 seconds because I want to brag about how good my Commander Iron Man XCOM 2 War of the Chosen Run is going. Holy fuck, boys. Like, it's going good. I did a chosen mission yesterday, okay, where, like, you know, I had all three of the missions done. I went in to kill a chosen. Yeah. We were fighting the chosen, and my Grenadier, who happened to have a, what's the mod where you get executions? Is it a repeater? I want to say it's a repeater. Yeah.
So I don't think that's even a mod.
I
think that's just mod in the game.
It procs very, very, very rarely.
5%.
Yeah, and so
No, some of them are 10%.
So I'm fighting the assassin. She's stealthed, but she used like vanishing wind and disappeared, but didn't move. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe she would move. She didn't, okay? So I moved my Grenadier in to reveal her, thinking she's still there. So Grenadier gets into position. It's a flanked position on her as well, and reveals her. She's still standing there. It was an 80% chance to hit. So I took the shot thinking, you know, do some shredding to the armor and stuff and just get ready for the rest of the boys to like dogpile her or whatever. And fucking she's on full health. She hasn't even been touched yet. Executed. It was fucking glorious. Like it was insane. And then we pegged away at the sarcophagus thing. She came back half health. And then we just one-shot her, and it was, oh, my God. It was so dreamy. Like, I'm at the point in the game now where my guys are just so strong, we're just snowballing through everything. Like, the avatar progress is just nothing.
It does get to a point where you just, there's no fight you
can
lose.
It's so fucking ropey at first,
though. It's ropey at first. Once you get ahead of that curve, it feels like it gets easier.
Yeah, I'm all teched. I've got all the upgrades, everything. Everybody's got, like, good
You're at the point where
types.
Basically the end is in sight. I feel like a little bit like with War of the Chosen. I don't necessarily think...
I think once you get rid of the actual Chosen, it's awesome. Because, like, they never fuck with you
again.
Well,
it feels like you don't often even need to kill the Chosen, though. Like, for me, it was like, well, why would I bother even doing this? I could just finish the game.
No, but they come in... They turn up in the final mission if you don't. And that makes it even harder because the final mission is pretty hard. You get lots
the final
of,
mission's hard anyway. Yeah
you get
like
lots
that.
Of bad guys.
I haven't got that far. Me and Ben haven't got that far. We're sort of playing it much more slowly than you. You're sort of burning through it all on multiple hours streaming every day, and you've overtaken us multiple times on multiple playthroughs.
But no, it's such a great game, XCOM 2. Oh,
I've got so much time for that game. I fucking love it, man. It's so good. They've done such a good job. I'm like really excited to see what they do next.
Yep. You know the guys that made the Long War mod are making their own standalone game?
Really? I'm not surprised. Yeah. Like that tends to be what happens. That's what happened with Chivalry, yeah. Wasn't it? Chivalry was the standalone version of these guys who'd made a shit ton of mods before. That did really
It's amazing.
Well
yeah, it's I mean, there's a, awesome, there's a yeah. game I play called Civil War, and it's a fantastic game. I'll give you the proper name. It's called Ultimate General Civil War. Okay. So these guys were the guys that made the Darth mod for Total War. And like, if anybody's played the original Total War Rome and stuff like that, there was this guy called Darth Mod, and they did those mods. So they made this game. So I love these small game studios, because I feel like if they've started off in the mod community and then moved into making games, they've seen what AAA titles and big games companies make, and they're like, you know what? This would be really good if it just had this, 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 and this, and this.
Yeah.
And they make it much simpler, and they tend to improve it a little bit, and they take the gloss off and put more gameplay in. That's the way it feels to me.
Yeah, you're right.
So there's a game I'm playing at the moment called Hold Fast. Sips, I think you saw me streaming it the other night, right?
It looks awesome. I really want to play it.
It's so fucking funny. Yeah. It's like a Napoleonic-era game, 150 players on the server.
I was watching it's you guys not... last night, and you were on boats. I couldn't believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we were doing the ship battle. So you spawn on you have your crews, you're like spawning on this little sloop, you have to load the guns and roll them out, and there's like a helmsman, you got a captain with a telescope and everything, you roll around, you blow up these ships, it's fucking amazing. The land battles is like 150 players, literally 150 players. You'll form like a line of like 50 people, and you'll literally all say, right, ready, aim, fire, and all the musketmen will fire, and you've got like drummers and flag bearers and stuff. It's amazing. That game was made by three dudes, three people.
Jesus.
There's this little studio called Anvil Games, they're in Malta, and there's three of them. One guy's a programmer, one guy's like the lead designer and everything, and the other guy's like the art director and stuff. And they just fucking made it, and it's amazing. I was streaming it, and they were in the chat answering questions and shit, and I was like, this is what I fucking like, man. These little game studios, they love games, and they're like, we're working on this, we're working on that. It's amazing to me. I hope they do new stuff. XCOM 2 was fantastic. I mean, if you look at what they did with the War of the Chosen, they pulled in a lot of stuff that modders had made and made it part of the game. Because they're like, this is too good. Like, we have to put this in the game. So I really hope that that they stay open like that. Like, games companies, sometimes when the title gets too big, they don't want to listen to the community and to modders anymore.
Yeah.
But modders are like the brilliant voice of the community. Because if they come up with, it's like so democratic as well. They come up with an idea. If it's shit, it's not popular. If this mod makes the game amazing, this will be more popular than the base game.
Yeah.
And people will be fucking downloading this and playing it like crazy. I love it.
Yeah,
I
like it too. I think I play, so XCOM, the playthrough I'm doing right now, I use the Shen's Last Gift DLC, which gives you like a story mission, but then it makes it so that you can build mechs in the Proving Ground and take them out with your squads. And like, they're pretty awesome. I've got like a mech. It's named after one of the guys in my Twitch chat called Plips, and he's Spanish. The robot speaks Spanish and looks is very colorful. But they've got just these awesome abilities. Like you can build them to be like just these like wrecking balls, or you can build them to be like really sort of tanky and supportive of like the rest of your crew. Mm-hmm. So like I've got this skill with my mech, my main mech, where he provides full cover. So he's got like that, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can stand him in the middle of a field and then just get people in behind him, and he's full cover. And it's awesome. It's so good. There's just so many little things like.
Yeah. We had a mech.
So awesome.
He got one shot by an Andromedon.
Oh, yeah, that does happen.
Because he was just standing in the fucking open.
When Andromedons hit, man, they hit fucking hard. Like,
yeah, they
do. It's crazy.
Do you know the most annoying fucking unit in XCOM I find is the mech dude that fires the grenade launchers? That shit always fucks me up.
Yeah.
Every fucking time. He turns up, he runs forward, he kneels down. Choo, 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 choo. Blows up all your cover, knocks a bunch of dudes over. Oh, my God. Fucking mechs. I always go full, like, I want guys with the Talon rounds that take down the mechs, or the Bluetooth or whatever the fuck it is, the rounds that kill mechs.
Blue screen.
I try to make my guys... Yeah. I try to make my guys immune to explosions and stuff. I fucking hate the mechs. Or I'll hack them. I'll get one guy hacking. I'll hack the mech, take it over, run it right into trouble, grenades everywhere. I love it.
I just like, you just need a sniper with blue screen rounds and you can one-shot mechs.
Do you know, honestly, the last few runs I've done, snipers, not been a big thing for us.
Really?
Just not been a big thing for us, yeah. Because I find that I just don't use them. We
it's
just get in amongst them.
It's just to shoot people from across the map. That's all with a sniper until they...
No, we get right in there, man.
Yeah.
Shinobis or whatever they...
Anyway, let's
Rangers.
Not talk too much Rangers. About XCOM 2. Yeah. So the Jingle Jam has begun, and this has consumed like
jangle,
a huge
yeah.
amount of my time over the last like couple of weeks trying to get all this stuff together in Terps 2. And it's pretty tough, actually. There's a few things I wanted to like run by you, which are kind of a bit weird. Like, so obviously we're trying to like fill up the schedule, trying to do different streams from usual, and we've got a list of games, and it's tough to get people like developers to kind of give us their games, right? And one reason is because a lot of people just buy this shit up and sell it on G2A kind of thing. And so, you know, I think that previously developers have been like, well, you know, I gave my game to the Jingle Jam bundle and there's just like 20,000 copies of it on G2A now kind of thing.
Wow.
Which is kind of a problem in a way, but at the same time, you know, it's not really that much of a problem, is it? Because, you know, at the end of the day, you raised a whole load of money for charity. And so, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but I can understand that point. And so a lot of people have been very reticent to give their games to the bundle this year. And also we've had this much more increased of free-to-play games. So like games that were not used, didn't used to be free-to-play are now free-to-play. And so how do they give stuff to the bundle? And in a way, like they can give stuff that's like a heroic pack or whatever, you know, of some special stuff that you get in the game. Which is cool, but it's almost like, how do you make that not just like an advert? Do you know what I mean? I'm beginning to worry that the Jingle Jam is almost like a newspaper just stuffed full of ads.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, free-to-play game. And so it's not necessarily clear what people are getting from these things, and they don't want them to just be glorified sort of ads or anything. But at the same time, I quite like a bit of, you know, good stuff. You know, if it was like 10 Hearthstone packs or whatever, which obviously we're never, ever going to get because Blizzard are never going to give us anything. Or any big company is never going to give us anything. I mean, we're talking about your indie games, PFLAX. It's those people, those three-man teams who are the people donating their games to the Jingle Jam, really, mainly. Anyone who's of any size is not interested in
that's a shame.
Taking part. But I think that even something like, I think like, you know, a few packs for Hearthstone or something like that or a hero would be amazing. You know, people would buy, people would pay $25 just for a fucking hero portrait in the bundle. Do you know what I mean? Like a unique hero.
And you're
portrait.
Doing some good, for Christ's sake. Like, come on.
So my dream is that will happen one day. One day in the distant future.
Yeah.
It feels like we work really hard for Blizzard. We kind of do all sorts of things for them, and they're very kind of, it's like, it's so disappointing because Terps is constantly doing stuff, working hard, going to Gamescom, doing the presenting, coming up with ideas, talking to everyone, doing stuff. And like, they're constantly like, well, nah, or that's not good enough, or nah.
I think they've just got their idea of what they want to do.
He's like an annoying kid who's kind of like too keen. I think Terps is maybe being too keen.
I think he just has to, it's one of those things. They're a big company. They know what they want to do. They've got like, you know, obviously they've got roadmaps for everything that they do well in advance sort of thing. And I think like Terps probably doing the right thing, actually. You just got to keep trying, and then something will stick sort of thing. Like that's all you can do, I think.
Yeah, the Jingle Jam bundle's great. Like there's a huge amount of generosity. We've got, you know, like 60 games or whatever. And there's like, you know, that in terms of like a good deal, you know, it's like hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of stuff for, you know, $35 or whatever the price is now. And it's like, you know, it's like, it is definitely like in terms of it, but you can't expect good games in it particularly, like or new games either. Like, you know, it's tough for people. Everyone has to make, you know, these guys have to make their money at Christmas as well, and I can understand that people wouldn't want to just give away their stuff for free, especially if
here's
their games
one
are selling.
I know Rust is going to be in there, ain't it?
Yeah, I mean,
it's worth it for Rust alone. I think
Rust is the fucking business, and by the time you're listening to this podcast, we will already be live with the Rust Yogg server, I think, and this is what we're looking at now. It's like a 500-person server. Can you guys fucking believe
that's
it?
That's crazy.
500-person server.
Yeah, that's going to be
Ackerwise is all over it, and it's going to be ridiculous. And week two, this should go out. So when this podcast goes out, it'll be week one. Week one will have been clan limit, size of 5, newbie friendly. Everybody's just going to get used to the game, basic Rust stuff. Week 2 is going to be unbelievable. You guys, if you haven't got it yet, get it and be ready for week 2. Week 2 is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, so hopefully there'll be some... Hopefully, I mean, what I really want to do is have more streams than we've got scheduled, because there's a lot of people who want to do stuff. You know, Hatfields want to do their music stream. Martin wants to do a day. And, you know, if you're streaming in the evening, PFLAX or whatever, I hope that, like, you'll be able to drop into the Rust server and do stuff parallel with the Jingle Jam. So that's something I haven't really talked about. I've got so much planning to do before it launches tomorrow. I'm just, like, losing my shit. I haven't published a schedule yet. I haven't, like... finalized a whole bunch of crap. What?
Lewis. How many Jingle Jams have you done now?
5.
And how have you enjoyed them?
Very much. Yeah.
Have they been a success?
Well, yes, they've all been a success, B-Flex.
Why are you worried, homie?
I'm not really worried. I'm just...
You've got a team of people pulling for you.
I'm not worried.
The viewers are ready. Don't worry.
I'm going out of my way this year to bring the whole thing down from the inside. Like, just going to put a real stick right into the spokes of the Jingle Jangle and just bring it all down. So
okay.
Just be confident.
That's
going to
be my thing,
though. Last year we raised what, $2 million?
I know, yeah. It was a lot.
2.5 million. It was 2.5. That's nuts.
Boom.
Me and Terps for Dad Decks, we're doing a special stream that we're still organizing and planning, but it's coming together nice and it should be pretty good. It's gonna be like probably in the middle of the month, December, but it's gonna be Hearthstone themed because it's Dad Decks, and it's pretty exciting. Like, we're pretty excited about it. Like, if it all comes together and goes forward, I think it'll be a pretty good one. So that's something to look forward to if you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, that's definitely like in the later half. Yeah, I think that's all. I when you said you were gonna organize the stream, Tips, I was like,
what?
I was like, oh, good. Well, let's see whether that actually happens. But no, you've done it all. You've sorted it out. It's booked in. It's like, it's going to happen. I'm excited for it now.
I'm not a very enthusiastic person or competent person, but sometimes I can pull it out of the bag. I feel like this time we've sort of pulled it out of the bag, which is pretty good. So we'll see. I mean, it might all fall through. Who knows? But I don't know.
Terps,
we're excited.
Wants to get legend in Hearthstone over December.
He does.
He decided that this is his year, and you might be the one to help him, Sips.
Well, he doesn't believe that I earned legend. He said I played a meme deck, which I didn't, and I don't think he realizes what goes into it. It's a lot of fucking games. Like, I played upwards of about 500 to 600 games the month that I got legend. It was nuts. I had to play it like hours and hours a day, every day, keep playing, keep grinding, and I got it. So I don't know.
That's crazy.
But we'll see.
That's crazy.
We'll see. He might get
good
it.
Good luck.
Yeah, yeah. You're good. You just gotta get. You gotta find a deck that you're comfortable with, that you like playing,
and you gotta have all of your.
You gotta learn all of your outs. You gotta learn all of the matchups, and it's gotta just have a good win rate as well. You can't waste your time on a deck that has a low win rate, because it's never gonna get you anywhere, right?
So also,
you just
it has have to be moderately fast. Because, like, if you pick a deck which is fatigue mage or whatever, then you're gonna
you want to close games sort of like turn 7 or 8 if you can. And those are like the fast ones, pretty good.
You don't want to be like going half an hour per game, or else you'll never see it. Anyway, I don't know why we're giving tips to Terps from remotely. He will have had all this already. Thank you everyone for listening to the podcast this week. We'll be back. Well, there's a couple of mornings that we're all free, so we'll see if we can record some Christmassy podcasts for you guys.
Yes,
I'm down in a couple of weeks' time.
Appearance coming down.
We're gonna have a fun time.
We're gonna play the pokers and stuff. That'll be.
I
awesome.
Need to sort. Of, oh, I might I be coming wait. Down. I'm not sure. Though I've got a trip next week, and that might sort of
you're off to America.
We're off to America, next week for a couple of days. So,
well, I think we could say it's Hearthstone related, can't we? Because it'll be out, podcast will be out by then. So,
yeah, it is. Yeah. It's another Dad Dex special thing for December. So, it's pretty good.
Have a great time, dude.
Have a good time. Yeah,
thanks, man. Thank you. Thanks so much. It's gonna be nice. We're gonna be in Hollywood this time, so it's gonna be pretty exciting.
Well, say hi to Tom Cruise for me.
Bette Midler,
say hi to J-Lo. You know how we feel about J-Lo.
Yeah, man. I'll see if I can track her down. Maybe I can take her shoe shopping or something. She'd like that.
I want you to get a picture of you with J-Lo where you're just like pointing at her butt, like with a like, wow, look in your face. And she's sort of giving a thumbs up to the camera.
Yeah,
and you're dabbing.
That's it. That's exactly what I'm going to do, guys. I'll do it for you, I promise.
All right, cheers.
Cheers, y'all.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.